Okay.
Today is about essentials introduction. Does anybody bring their essentials introduction to the group?
I have my essentials introduction right here.
Well, then start reading. And when you get to the end of two, stop.
Okay. All right. Essentials introduction. Number one, when considering or studying forever living, or speaking of these matters, or struggling to live without discontenting yourself, the following essentials must be held as fundamental visions underlying every concept of yourself and life that arises to mind. These essentials, in forms and images, are never in conflict, though language, thinking, and speaking and portraying may seemingly put them in conflict. When this occurs, and it will, trust the vision, not the language. Of course, if you haven't visualized these essentials, you have nothing to trust or follow. That's it.
Everybody understands that? Everybody understands it. Okay. Well, then, if everybody understands it, let me ask you a question. It's sort of a language question. Is there a difference between physical and spiritual? If so, what is that difference?
I don't know how to answer that.
Sure you do. I'm asking for
okay,
your
okay, opinion. Okay, hang on. It's right. So physical stuff is viewable, visible. What we call, whatever you would call spiritual stuff, tends to be invisible in some way or manner. Has form, but I can't see it visually.
So, Patrick, do you agree with that?
Well, the physical is the physical, the spiritual is the invisible physical.
So then there's no difference between physical and spiritual, except that it appears that one you can see and one you can't see.
Correct.
Is that okay with you, Andrew?
Did everybody drop off the line?
I guess. I don't know.
Not me, but somebody did, I think. Yeah.
Andrew, are you there?
I guess not.
Maybe that's him, yeah.
Well, I guess we'll just continue and he can do whatever he wants to.
He'll ding back in shortly, I'm sure.
Okay, Patrick. What is your concept or image of God?
There. Is that you, Andrew?
Whoop. I'm sorry, I dropped out. So, do you have any recap, brief recap of Patrick's take on that?
We reached the point where essentially the only difference between physical and spiritual is that one, you can see one and you can't see the other. One is visible and the other is not visible.
Oh, you agreed.
Okay. No, we don't agree.
Oh, you don't agree?
No, sorry, neither did he.
Oh, I thought, okay. Okay, well, progress me then. Well, what was the other difference?
There is no difference except for that. So spiritual is physical. It's physical that you don't see.
So why don't you agree with what I said?
What?
Why don't you agree with what I said?
Because
it's invisible.
Because
physical is visible to the visuals.
You maintain physical and spiritual as different. One that you could see and one that you could not see. He said physical and spiritual are the same. They are, spiritual is physical, only it's a physical that you cannot see.
Gotcha.
Is that okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, where we were, because you went away, is what is your concept or image of God?
I don't know anymore. My concept of God is a condition of things that appears in the universe created by the stuff, the individual parts and things of the universe.
Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Patrick, what is your image or concept of God?
Well, I think what that's getting to me, for me, is that it is the universal being that's all things but no thing in particular.
Is this physical or spiritual?
It is both.
What does that mean? What do you mean? A minute ago, you said spiritual was physical. Now, why is it all of a sudden both? Well, come on, I listen to what you say, and this is the trouble, you guys. You say one thing for the convenience of one answer, and then change everything. You said spiritual was physical. You cannot then say God is both. If spiritual is physical, then God must be physical.
Okay, I got that.
Now, will you accept that?
Sure, why not?
Well, then, what is your relationship with that physical God?
You mean physical or, it's physical? It's,
he said it was physical, not spiritual. And he said he would accept his concept, the image of God, as physical, not spiritual. Then all I ask
here, my physical life is bringing that God thing into physical form.
I didn't ask you that question, Andrew.
You said, what's my relationship to it? I'm creating it.
You're creating what?
What I call God.
Okay, I misunderstood what you said. I'm sorry. What is your relationship, if anything, to God, then, Patrick?
I am particularizing or making visible God.
What is the difference, if anything, between oneness, which we could say as in oneness with God, such that all actions are God's actions, and communion, as in communion with God, such that you can action together? Is there any difference between that?
Between oneness and all the rest of it?
Oneness and communication with this God. Andrew's making this God, and as far as you're concerned, it's just a physical God that exists there. Now, my question is, what is the difference between oneness with this God and communion with this God? Become one with God.
Well, I suspect that being one with God, I would be, again, all things and no thing in particular, and that I wouldn't really see much visible presence of God.
Well, that just talked to me about oneness. What's the difference between that and communion?
Well, then communion is that I can, with all that is universal, I can jointly together bring that into visible expression.
Why jointly together?
Well, I think if I go all physical, I'm not communing. It's only by having more or less one foot.
Wait a minute. Pause. Stop.
Yep.
What's this, if I go all physical? You started saying it was all physical in the first place.
Oh, thank you. If I stay all visible, I cut myself off from the rest.
Not necessarily. All visible, I mean, something that's invisible can still interact. Just because you don't see it, that doesn't make it any different. Well, I don't understand how you could live with this image or a concept of God and all things in life, and then say, well, I don't believe in that, I believe in this, and etc. And you can't answer these questions. What's going on? Are you afraid that if you give an answer to the series of questions, you might offend God or contradict yourself or something?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. No. Then you said God was physical that I couldn't necessarily see.
Yeah.
Well, then, does that mean that God has all things, though you can't see it, it's the same as you? You are all things. But, and you can see it?
I don't know.
Do you think that's offensive to God?
I didn't hear what you said.
Do you think that would be offensive to God?
I didn't ask you that. I asked you whether you think it would be offensive to God, because you're wishy-washing this in any regard to somehow or other say God is not spiritual, but, well, you know, he's other than physical, so he must be spiritual. You're wishy-washing, not me.
Well, it's finding language to kind of describe what
then you describe what you're talking about and stop using language to language it.
Well, it would appear that I'm more powerful than God because I can particularize, and I can, meaning that I can make visible the invisible physical.
What do you mean? You don't like that?
Oh, I think that's kind of fabulous.
But now you just sort of said, well, you know, it's language because it appears that, etc. Like, whoa, shit, I better not say this.
Did it really sound like that?
Yeah, it did to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's actually kind of startling to realize that that's in fact true.
Well, the question is not that anyway, but we went there and that's good. Okay, now, what's the difference between oneness with this God, as in oneness with God, such that all actions are God's actions, and communion? Say with God, as in communion with God, sets that you can action together.
I can't. How are you on that, Andrew? Have you got anything there?
Well, my question is, if we commune, and if we talk about communion, does that mean that God is kind of like, well, you know, God's an intention or a belief, but I do all the work, I do all the actioning?
That kind of sounds like it bears consideration. Yeah. I think that actually fits.
Would you stand that? Would you go to church tomorrow or next, this coming Sunday, and stand up in church and declare that?
Yeah, why not?
I didn't ask you. Why not? I asked you, would you?
Yeah. I think that meets with everybody's experience. Sure.
So which would you prefer? Oneness with God or communion?
Communion, for sure.
What did you say, Andrew? I didn't hear you.
Communion, for sure.
Patrick?
I'm asking, I'd like to have more conversation on what this communion is.
Well, I wondered when somebody was going to ask that question. You tell, since Andrew's doing all the communion, yeah, sure, for sure, ask him.
Yep, what I'm saying is, so God is a condition that that I become aware of as I live and express and do and, you know, myself in life through my body and in what I guess we call the world around us. That is something that it as a condition, it's my action that is, I do all the work. I guess that's what I'm saying. It's my actions, my doing, bring it into existence and form and awareness to me.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Mm-hmm. Simone agrees.
Yes, I do.
So, Patrick, you'd rather communion than this oneness stuff?
Yes, but I still don't know what this communion is.
Well, Patrick, let me give a whirl here. If God exists as only as a condition and it's passive in that regard, then the communion it's there, but it's not in any apparent existence. But by my actioning and living my life and expressing, I make it apparent.
You don't understand that when you start a sentence with "if," you've lost your audience, Andrew.
I didn't even hear myself say "if."
So what was your first word?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, you started "if God exists."
Oh, my
bad. If God exists, yeah. And then you negated God, and then if a frog had wings, you wouldn't bump his ass. So, the question was, he said, "What is communion?"
Communion implies two. And how are the two working together?
Well, you don't understand that, Patrick?
I have trouble describing that.
Oh, wait, pause. Karen, did you hear anything there? He can't even describe communion with God. How could he describe communion with you? You want to try again, Patrick? If you and God are physical, and you and Karen is physical, is it possible to say that your relationship with God in communion is the same as your relationship with Karen in communion?
Except that Karen is very particular, God is not.
Okay.
Karen talks back.
So, are there times when you can act for Karen?
With the greatest of caution.
then you would always deal with God in the same greatest of caution.
So that it's necessary here, then, that yes, we've established that God is physical, simply not visible.
No, we haven't really established that. What we're discussing is, you said that, and so then we're discussing that vision. If that is the vision you have of your relationship with God, then we have to talk about that vision, and that's what we're doing.
Okay. Then, I must somehow or other make my image of God more particular in order to have a relationship other than I am a particularization of God a visible expression of God. Then is it sufficient to say then, as a visible expression of God, I can therefore act on behalf of God, again with extreme caution?
Why are you necessarily acting on behalf of God? Can you not act in behalf of yourself with the image of God?
With the image of God?
Yeah. As a whatever, eternal physical being?
So, not am, or just a minute. Am I an image of God?
No, I'm asking you. You said you had to act with God in that image. I'm saying, can you not act, let's call it, for yourself, carrying only an image of God? Haven't you done that when I asked you about Karen? Have you said, oh, with the greatest of reluctance, haven't you then created an image of Karen? And that image in that regard then has created a great reluctance?
Yeah, I see what you mean, yep. So I could similarly have an image of God and act according to whatever that image is.
Don't you?
Son of a gun, I think you're correct.
And didn't I ask you, what is your relationship with that God? And when you tell me that, have you not then described your image or picture or relationship with that God? Haven't you described your relationship between you and Karen with that one sentence?
My goodness gracious. You're too clever sometimes, Roger.
Well, they're your words, not mine.
But I mean, you pick them up.
I listen.
Yep.
So would you like to go back? And the point of it is, in listening to your words, I know what your image is of your relationship, let's say with God or with Karen or with all sorts of things. But there's a reason for all of this.
Now, what might that be?
Well, I don't want to go into that yet, but I will. My question to you, is it possible that if you don't have a vision or concept of God, if God is invisible, then you don't have a concept of God, and neither does Andrew. So is it possible that if you don't have a vision or concept of God, you don't have a concept of yourself? And you certainly don't have a concept of yourself as a universal being. Or maybe we can say then that you are hiding your concept of yourself as a universal being, refusing to do that on the assumption that that might somehow or other either disappear you or anger God.
Well, neither one of those seem to ring a bell, but...
Ring a bell? Hey, I'm not asking to... I'm not trying to ring bells here. I'm trying to wake you up to what already is obviously occurring in this mishmash of words that are going on. If I miss out on that somewhere, you tell me where I did. I'll make that as a flat declaration. That is actually factually. You have no image of yourself that is valid, and no real image of yourself as a universal being. And or if you do, you're hiding that.
Well, I have to agree with that, but I have never ever thought I was hiding it, so I didn't want to offend God.
Why not?
Why would I want to do that?
Because whether you believe it or not, everything in the universe that you live in today and every word you say speaks God. And it speaks God as judgment, as power, as almighty. How dare you stand up to God and say you're equal to God in a communion or something of that nature? You, how about them apples?
See.
Hello?
No. Yeah. I'm just looking at the images I have.
How can you have an image?
What's that?
How can you have an image? You have no image of God.
Well, I was looking at something else.
Okay, I'm ready.
And that was that in saying I'm co-equal with God, the image I seem to generate is all the order in life would all fall apart, and then I'd be responsible for putting the order together in some manner or fashion.
One thing or other, I never said co-equal. You did, and you add those words into this conversation to justify feeling responsible. But let's assume then that in adding those words, that up to now you haven't spoken them, but that's how you feel, and that you'd be responsible for this mess. Who in the hell says God is responsible for this mess?
Well, that's not what I'm not talking about, the mess.
What are you talking about?
I think just plain ordinary, the order of existence.
Who says God is, have I used the term that God is responsible for all this stuff, or God created this, or anything of that nature? I only said God.
And?
I didn't imply anything.
I'm talking about my image, not yours.
Okay, that's what I asked you. What is your relationship, and what is your concept or image of God, and what is your relationship with that? So now we know that you set God up there, and in that regard, then, have negated yourself.
I think that is true.
Thank you. That's where I wanted to get to. Now, tell me how you can have an image of yourself other than or beyond Patrick.
Well, I think it's important that I take on the so-called long view of my existence.
I didn't ask you that. I said, if you have this image of God in that way, how can you possibly have a long view of yourself?
Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't understand the question. Given that view of myself, how can I have a long, or God, how can I have a long view?
Yes.
No, there isn't any.
Thank you. And when I then say you are a universal being, you run and hide like mad. You can't, with that image of your relationship with God or image of God, you can't even possibly consider yourself as a universal being.
Yeah, I've all this time we've been talking about universal being, I have not had an image of that.
That's
any.
That's being, but you created then God as being physical but invisible. So he must be there, but I can't have any image of that. Then you would say that if you had an image of yourself as an eternal being, that too would be invisible.
You mean based on the model that I've made already?
Yes.
That would follow, correct.
And I consider, from everything I've ever heard from you for the last 18 years, that is an absolute image, although you would have said spiritual before, image you have of God, and it is a self-denial.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
Is this okay with you, Andrew? I guess Andrew's left us again.
Oh, I was just on mute. Yeah, I had never actually really considered it as a self-denial. I was just amazed by that.
It can't be anything else. Everything, when you use the language, you're denying yourself.
Yeah.
When you're languaging, not when you're using the language. I apologize for that one.
That's a good distinction. Okay.
Here's a story I read at 4 o'clock this morning in a book, which kind of relates to this. A cousin of mine who was a nun once confided in me her story of an immense struggle of faith. An early
faith,
F-A-I-T-H.
Okay.
An early bloomer in spirituality, she had entered the convent young and then spent years living that life enthusiastically. With her unbounded idealism and ever-present intellectual curiosity, she studied the religious life and always sought ways to make it more intense and up-to-date. But she also had a practical no-sense aspect that tempered her sweetness. Whenever she talked about theology or meditation or education, she would kind of laugh heartily like a spiritual teacher who always perceives the ironies and absurdities of life. That curious mixture of high spirituality and practicality showed itself as well in two passions of hers. She spent many summers getting degrees in science and then taught science courses in various high schools run by her order. But she also studied Zen Buddhism and Eastern meditation practices in a day when ecumenism was frowned upon. Whatever she was doing or talking about, you could feel in her an extraordinary purity of intention and unlimited commitment to God. One day she discovered that she had a rare, painful, and fatal disease. Gradually, she had to give up her teaching and spend more time just, well, taking care of her body. For several years, she suffered intense physical pain and discomfort. She'd go from one doctor to the next, gathering a few new pieces of information about her unusual condition. At one point, she said she probably knew more about her disease than any doctor in the country. She studied her illness and developed her own regimens of self-care. Then, in the midst of her illness, the pain and disruption in her life, took their full toll. She lost her faith. This was someone who had spent her entire life cultivating her spirituality and giving herself completely to her religion. She told me that she had become profoundly depressed during one of her hospitalizations. Everything she had believed in collapsed into a deep, dark hole. And she felt that all her previous efforts to live an honest, principled life had been in vain. She called for a priest. But, rather astonishingly, when she told him about her loss of faith, he dashed out of her room. She said she long remembered the image of his back as he hurriedly pushed open the door to get away from her doubts and depression. She had no choice then but to sink into her black emotion. Emotion she had never thought in all her studies and training in spirituality that she could have such a crisis in faith. She had expected a continuous ascent in understanding and technique, but maybe a few small surmountable problems here and there. But her fate led her in a different direction, to a place void of spirit and dominated by utter hopelessness. She was then led deep inside to her very edge of her person she knew herself to be, emptied of all spiritual ambition and all satisfaction in what she had accomplished. She had no guides, no hints at where to go next. She had no life in front of her, and no one to talk to. She had read about the Eastern concept of emptiness, but she didn't know it could feel so barren. But she told me eventually she discovered a new kind of faith that rose directly out of her depressive thoughts and emotions. She was shocked to feel it stir that deep, empty pit. She didn't know what to think of it because it was so different from the kind of faith she had been learning about and nurturing all of her life. It was inseparable from her illness and her incapacity. Within this new brand of spirituality, however, she uncovered a profound peace. She no longer craved comfort from the hospital chaplain or anyone else. She said she found it difficult to describe this new trust she felt because it was so deep and different from the faith she had she had been cultivating in her previous spiritual practices. There was more individuality in this faith. It was tied closer than could be imagined to her own identity. She had found what she needed the only way she could. Not long after she told me this story of her loss and recovery of faith, she died peacefully. I asked you in that story where her faith was tied to an individuality. Do you suppose that that faith, or the faith that she learned, was turning away from a faith in God to a faith in self, her own identity? And can I expand, and how can I expand your belief and image of God and yourself such that you can then very, while you cannot know God as an invisible nothing or a spiritual something, you can know yourself as a universal being. Well, there's where we are. And we won't read the rest of the Essentials introduction. I assumed you've read that. Essential number one asks, who are you? And answers, you are an abiding, all-inclusive, universal being. What will it take for you to begin to understand that? Patrick? Andrew? Anybody? Simone?
I don't know what it would take me to understand that.
Maybe you have to start, even beginning in this, maybe from the very get-go, you must reestablish or revisualize or re-understand your image of God, because the image of God that you have either hides yourself as an abiding universal being or forces you to deny that, or it is something you can't see. It's spiritual. It's unknown, unseeable. That's not true. So my question is, what would it take for you to begin understanding that you are an abiding, all-inclusive, universal being? And what do you think if you saw that, knew that, etc., like the gal who was dying and her faith then was placed on her identity? What would happen, do you suppose, and what will it take to change your identity to see yourself as an abiding universal being?
Well, anyway, you go ahead. I was going to say, as you've mentioned more than once, that we really don't have a full understanding of what abiding means. And for me, a bit of discussion about abiding.
No beginning and no ending. Now, discuss it from that perspective.
No beginning, no ending.
Doesn't mean immortal.
All right.
It only
okay,
means
right. You can still have physical death.
You can have all sorts of things, but there is no beginning and no ending.
But in abiding, I can be visible or invisible.
You can be anything. Time. Let's assume that in abiding, you can be anything that you desire. You can be any changeable stuff.
Interesting. You could be what kind of changeable stuff?
Any. A-N-Y.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the best thing, you know, I say this with some trepidation. I think the best thing would, for me,
have you gone?
I don't hear you, Andrew.
I've lost them too.
You don't hear me?
No. Or now I can hear you.
Oh, I can hear all you guys. Sorry. Don't know what happened. Sorry. I was going to say some experiences. I was wondering if there's some experience I currently have that I can repurpose or re-understand. Like I was thinking in Abide in Self, we were talking about dreams and you cut in and out of that. I was thinking of that as being a basis for understanding myself as an abiding.
What?
That I go to sleep at night and there is a dream ongoing and I check into it. And
but
I
you've never understood that. Nothing you have ever changed. You've dreamed all of your life, 40-odd years of your life, and you have never come away from any dream ever that you were an abiding being.
No, of course, I know. That's what I'm saying. Is that an experience that I could, you know, I start as a basis for myself to say, understand in a different way what that is, and then I start understanding myself as an abiding being.
Wait just a minute now. I don't want you to understand yourself as an abiding being.
Hang on a second. Let me just see what we said here. Okay. Did you not ask what it would take us to understand ourselves that way? Number one. Okay. What do you want me to do then?
Andrew, now you put your minding onto me right now.
All there.
What do you think I had to do to understand myself as an architect?
Decide you were an architect.
Then, and declare that and live that, then why the hell do you have to do something to prove that you are an abiding being? You won't even listen to the dreams from an abiding being perspective to say, well, you know, maybe you are in this, if you won't declare that's who you are.
I see.
You want proof first, and then maybe if it suits you somehow or other, you will then try to cause that to occur. Well, that's a big nothing. What would it take for me, if it says here you are an all-inclusive universal being, an abiding all-inclusive universal being, it's already there. What would it take for you to see that or know that? It starts with you've got to declare that that is so.
I just never think it's that simple, but that's a really good point. Probably pass it up every day.
Because you are declaring that you are not abiding being, why do you expect me, the universe, forever living, sentience, knowledge, or anything else to disprove what you already believe?
Yeah, you know, that is true. I think I am declaring that I'm not. That, in every little way, I get that.
Is it okay, Andrew? I mean, Patrick, do you understand?
I think so, but I was puzzled in that with the, when you said what's it going to take. The question then, the answer you're looking for was declare it and live it.
All right. What difference does it make? I'm just saying, what would it take for you, because I had already said this is who you are. Now, what would it take for you to know that, be that? Well, the first thing is you have to clear, well, for God's sake, that's who I am.
Yeah, in the absence of that, not much is going
to
happen.
That's right, because then you're saying to me, well, I'm not a universal being now. You go ahead and try to challenge that sucker.
Yeah, I know myself of likely to having proof for what I am and be.
It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. If we can say, all right, Andrew, Patrick,
yep.
Simone,
yep.
If you declared yourself, and I started out with if, because you may not, what is your concept or image of yourself as a universal being? Did you think these first questions about God and all that kind of stuff was just fluff?
No.
So we're back again. What is your concept or image of God? what is your concept or image of yourself as a universe? Well, no, I guess we got to better go back. What is the difference between physical and spiritual? And if you're going to say, Patrick, then that God is physical, then what is your concept of or image of yourself as a universal being? Are you willing to say that what you are today is a universal being and this is what I'm living?
Yes. That? Yes. Hmm.
Then what is your, Patrick's, relationship to that universal being?
It has to be that is me.
Do you see?
And I'm not simply an expression of.
Then that's right. Then that is you. I think that's item number one. You are an abiding, all-inclusive, universal being. Okay, let's assume that's the case. Now, my next important question was, what is the difference, if any, between oneness as oneness with God, or let's call it oneness as in oneness with your universal self, such that all actions are the actions of your universal self, and communion as in communion with your universal self, such that you can action together?
Well, I guess if the oneness thing short circuits the whole affair, and there is no expression, there is no particularization going on. There's no particularization going on. If it's all self-referential and that's it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you want to become one with God, or do you want God to become one with you?
I know, Pastor Jim.
What?
Oh, okay. I like the standard. You're going to say, "Well, God to become one with me."
Yeah.
That I wanted. Actually, I wasn't going to answer that question. I was going to say that the language is so friggin' tricky here.
But of course it is. But you see, what we're saying in this is, it's not that the language is so tricky here. You're afraid to answer. You really, and I said down there, is it possible you are hiding yourself away?
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting. You can definitely put that in there. Even if we're not aware of it, because, I mean, that is an age-old fear that mankind has had, and I do think it seeps in everything. It's under there somewhere.
Of course it is. Let me ask you this question. Why do you suppose it is under there?
Because we know who we are.
No, he said it's under there, that he's hiding all of this. That's what we're talking about. And so, why do you suppose it is under there hiding? Could I surmise something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Could I surmise that...
Surmise, did you say?
What?
The word was surmise?
Yeah, S-U-R-M-I-S-E. Could I surmise that you want to continue in life, yet you don't know how to give you ever yourself everlasting life?
Oh, and so for that reason, I'm holding out, or relationship with God, just in case I need it?
Just in case. Well, Roger made me do that. I didn't really mean that.
Yeah, I have that already written down somewhere.
He's the devil in disguise.
Yeah, I know.
Is this okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm following.
Yeah, but is this okay?
I don't know what okay means.
Okay means, is it possible then that just the nature of wanting to continue, but you don't know how to do that, that you will conceal yourself from being an abiding universal being because you don't know how to continue as a universal being?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And but if we're saying, well, wait just a minute here. If God is physical and all this stuff is physical, is it possible to say, well, maybe there is a way for me to continue my everlasting life? Is that okay?
That to think that there may be a way that I can.
Would that be okay?
Sure, that'd be more than okay.
In other words, as long as we kept God spiritual and you couldn't know anything, do anything, understand anything, well, you were screwed. And you were at the behest of God as to whether in His grace He gives you everlasting life. Is that not true?
That's correct.
If we make God physical and you communion with God, or He communions with you, you got more of a personal ongoing relationship there, have you not?
Yes, it's far less remote and untouchable.
Okay. And if we said then that this abiding universal being, abiding means without beginning, without ending, hey, that there you go, right there, you got the continuation, have you not?
It's even beyond continuing.
Well, there you go. Then, how in all of this, isn't it possible then that in communion with yourself as a universal being, you can give yourself the abidingness that you want or the continuation that you want?
And there's raises questions for me.
I'm ready.
Then it goes back to how important it is to have an image of universal being, or is it more particularly universal self? Because the communion is with me, but I am the universal self. So are we talking about...
Could you not grant yourself abidingness?
Who's the self that's... Who are we talking about?
Couldn't you, Patrick, as a universal being, grant yourself abidingness?
Yes, that's entirely... Yes, I can.
Could you, Patrick, as a universal being, by the grace of yourself, give yourself abidingness?
Yes, I could.
Now, what I said before is that you do not continue, but you do not not continue. And what you really want is to know and experience your continuing. Did I not say that?
That's correct.
As a an abiding universal being, could I say then that maybe what you truly desire is to experience your abidingness as a universal being?
That's correct. I would say that.
And because as an abiding being, continuing is a non-issue, but what you want then is to experience your abidingness.
As Patrick.
What?
No. Patrick wants to experience that.
Okay. Let's assume that's the case. How would you think you would have to experience your abidingness? That's probably a crappy question, but struggle with it.
It is. How would I go about experience my abidingness?
Yes. Could you
maybe in dreaming?
Could you, Patrick, or you, Simone, or you, Andrew, experience your abidingness?
Maybe in dreaming?
Maybe I start by declaring it.
I didn't ask you how. I said, could you, Andrew, Simone, or Patrick, experience your abidingness? A yes or no will do fine.
Yes.
No.
What?
Did you think this was going to be a simple yes or no? The answer is no.
You live your abidingness.
What's that?
Do you want to go back and discuss abiding now? What to you then is an abiding universal being that, remember what we said here before, that does not continue? Abiding makes continuing irrelevant. If you continue as Patrick, Andrew, or Simone, you've made it relevant, and you cannot experience yourself as an abiding universal being.
We've made it relevant? Oh.
You've made continuing relevant.
That's a great, great cat. Damn it.
So you can't, the only way that you can, and allow me this is a trick of words sort of here, the only way you can experience yourself as a universe, an abiding universal being, is to give yourself up.
All right. I think I understand that.
Could you then understand the story where right after that she died pleasantly?
She gave herself as, yeah, she gave herself up.
Okay.
None.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gave herself up, her old identity.
Her old identity as a faithful nun.
So, therefore, in the beginning part of this, could you understand yourself as an abiding being with no longer continuing your old stuff, your old memories, your old everything?
Yeah. Wow.
or give up my identity as Patrick.
That would be neat.
No, give yourself an identity as a universal being. Could you not give yourself an identity as a universal being and also give yourself a new name?
I like that.
You could still use Patrick, but you... What's your middle name? Wait a minute. Here's the question, Patrick. Can you live every moment as Masters, though you refer to yourself as Patrick?
I was thinking, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Roger, is that like saying as an abiding being, I can experience myself as Andrew?
Well, you can as an eternal being, but yes, you could. But then let's assume then that you took on Masters. Would not the question next be next week, will you give up being Masters?
And experience yourself as a new being?
Why not? As an abiding being, regardless of the identity that you abide.
I see. Every identity I would take on would only be a convenience of nonce.
What? I didn't hear you.
Any identity I took on would always just be a convenience of the moment, of the nonce.
You do that every day without realizing it.
That is exactly what I think, Rod.
So the question is, since you are you willing to realize that in every situation that you are establishing a new and different identity? And when you've done that, where you screw it up is that you think that there is a singular you taking on a new identity. Why not say that there is an infinite identity that once in a while takes on a singular you?
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insanity not to.
And not just once in a while, it's all a while.
Right.
So, as you're taking on this identity every nonce moment or whatever, then memories, non-issue. It really wouldn't be memories you live from or react to or bring into the next moment.
Sally, I can't understand you if you don't tell me memory Y or memory S.
Memory S. Memory S.
Are you willing to live memory Y?
Yes, the living memory Y. Memory S then isn't even relevant, impacting anything.
So, let's assume then that there is a body and a self.
Right.
The body lives by memories, S, and the self lives by memory, Y.
Okay.
Memories are the protection of the body.
Okay.
Don't go up and pet a lion.
Okay.
But memory Y is living by, self living by memory Y is a whole different ballgame.
Okay.
Is memory Y, can we say that this is expressing abidingness?
Yes, we can.
Yes, it's the same.
Okay. Yeah, I just felt that.
Okay, now let's give you an alternative to all this, because it sounds pretty complicated to change who you are at every moment. So, Patrick, do you have essentials in front of you? Read number two. If you do not, say no.
These essentials in forms and images.
What? We're reading essential. We're not reading the introduction. We've finished with the introduction. We're on essentials number one. Read number two.
Oh, I don't have that in front of me. Andrew, got it?
Yeah. You mean you are everything? That one?
Yes.
Yes.
You are everything. This font is hard to read. You are everything, but nothing until you are particular as a personal being, especially a personal being you truly desire.
So, my question then is, in that regard, could you choose Patrick to be a particular of a universal being and change Patrick in everything you're doing to be as you truly desire?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yes.
And instead of, could you then, instead of saying, looking back, I lived as samurai, could you then say, as Patrick, I will live as?
Yes, I certainly can.
And in that then, create today your next particular to be a particular of a universal self.
Yes.
Suppose that you did that right now. Like, supposing I was 16 years old again and said, okay, I am an architect. At that moment, have I not declared my next self or being?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I didn't declare what I'm going to be. I'm declaring who I am.
Right.
Then that's okay. That this is use of language stuff. The next to be, is that, do you want to say that?
Yes, I do.
What, how about in simply declaring it, that's not a next to be, that's who I am? I'm fiddling with words here.
But I'm asking you, for instance, I'm asking you, beyond death, who will you be?
Mm-hmm.
And I can declare that now.
Could you not?
Yes.
And I'm saying, then, you can declare who you will be by declaring who you are now. Could you not declare who you will be by declaring who you are now?
Yes.
And be that mm-hmm. in the next lifetime?
Yep.
And give yourself an abidingness in that?
Right.
And give yourself, then, a new particular to be and live in that regard as a universal being, not as a way to continue Patrick.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, my question, Patrick, who are You understand? Now, what we've just done now, we've screwed away causing and causing and affecting and all of this sort of stuff. Is that okay?
Yeah, I get that.
Happy about that.
Well, let's discuss that for a moment. Maybe we have and maybe we haven't. If the universe only works by emergent, how the hell did cause and effect come in here? Because you see, the minute I said, declare who you are to be, your mind went to, and I said by declaring I'm an architect, your mind went to cause and effect and got all screwed up. Then, my question to you is, what is the difference? If the universe only works by emergent, how in the hell did we get cause and effect, and what the heck is cause and effect?
Well, let me see. I think I stumbled upon putting a couple of constituents together, and I noticed something was there, something was in the universe, was emergent. I liked that, so I thought, Amaral, if I put that constituent and that constituent together, I'm going to get that thing that I like. So I convinced myself that I knew how to cause, even though the universe was simply doing emergent.
So what you did is focus on the outcome.
The outcome. I thought I figured out how to get there.
But there's a problem with that, because if you focus on outcomes that you know, you only keep doing the same damn thing over and over again.
Right.
That's correct.
Mergent says, choose who you will be right now. I'm an architect. That's constituent number one. In this world today, that's constituent number two. Well, what does that mean? Well, if those are the thing in the world today that I desire, if those are the constituents that you choose, you will be an architect or something. I may not be an architect. I may be showing people how to design and live the lives that they truly desire. That's still an architect, but it's not an architect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you don't necessarily know then what the emergent will be, but, man, I loved architecture, then I will love the emergent. Is that okay?
That's pretty okay, yeah.
And teaching, showing, developing, et cetera, which is the same as architecture. And everything I did in architecture I use today. So, I chose architect at 17. I lived architecture. Well, actually, I chose advertising, and then architecture chose me. And then I chose architecture a year later. And I only did the things that I really enjoyed in architecture. Is it possible then that in that regard, that would be my emergent?
That's more than
that. Then I don't have to continue being an architect. I'm an architect in a different form. Is that okay?
Yep.
It's me, but it ain't me. Is that okay?
That's a neat way of knowing.
Does any of this, all of this put together, sort of kind of make them make a sense?
I think so, yes.
So cause and effect, then, is only that you're repeating emergent because that you know the outcomes of. And you've then limited in cause and effect only to those outcomes you already know, which is why Andrew wanted me to to tell him what it would be like so that he could then decide to cause an effect or choose it or not. Does any of this make sense?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you really know and describe then how, from what I've said, you might be an all-inclusive, abiding, universal being, but that in that you are everything but nothing until you are particular? Can you describe that from, in your language, Patrick, from what I've said? And can you know this? And how can you know this?
Can you ask the question again?
Well, number three says, I spoke number one, I spoke number two. If we go to number three, it says, can you really know and describe this and how? So I described the process of 17, choosing to be an architect as a constituent, lived as an architect as a constituent, but the immersion of that is exactly what I'm doing today. But it's not as an architect, yet I'm doing that. So what is emergent might be entire, or will probably be entirely different, because the properties of what I'm doing today are not then within the constituents. But are you willing to choose the constituents today? And from your life, what constituents would you choose? How would you declare yourself as a universal being, and what constituents would you choose?
Okay, I'm glad we're talking about this, because Roger declared he was an architect at age 17. But was that his universal declaration?
What does that mean?
Well, what were you underneath that really declaring? Because somebody could say, I want to be a doctor, a butcher, candlestick maker. That's not what we're talking about, is it?
You tell me.
I don't think it is. But there is something that underlies that what may end up looking like architect, and as it's transfigured for you, it's everything that was architect turned out to be what you're doing now.
But that's what is we call emergent. And I'm asking you today, what, if any damn thing you're living or doing today, would you choose as a constituent that you'd be willing to do and be eternally? That's all I'm asking you there.
I can't tell you anything right now. A couple days ago, I was clear, and I can't even remember what that is now.
Well, my question here is it possible that if you won't declare yourself as a universal being, you might be hiding yourself, hiding what you already know? We said to Andrew, hey, man, you can't find out what your universal being is all about. You got to start by declaring it. Well, okay, you're a universal being. I guess the next step is, so what particular are you that you would choose as a constituent to always be and live as a universal being? What the hell are you doing that you'd be willing to do eternally? Living.
Well, if I transfigure what I'm doing into universal terms, it's how to make the universe work for you. I
my declaration is that I want to show people how to make the universe work for them.
Okay. Could we then say that that is your universal self?
Yes, we can say that.
That you know all of these things, but now you have to particularly see how and in what way then and show people or teach people or whatever you want how that is.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. If the universe only reacts, if you were doing that, showing people how the universe works for them, if the universe only reacts, what will the universe give you?
It will show me how it works.
What was hard about that?
Not that damn thing.
Then if you're living that as a particular universal being and the universe is showing you that, if the universe isn't showing it, you ain't living it.
Absolutely.
And if you are living it, then every book you pick up or everything you pick up or whatever you're doing in that will show you that, how you can have the universe work for you.
Everything. If I, my dreams, anything I'm reading, anything that I see in meetings that I'm at, it'll always be showing me how it works.
Well, let's click in there to something else for a moment. What if your dreams aren't telling you a damn thing? I guess somebody's got to answer.
Well, I'm right now. I'm not prepared to accept that they aren't saying anything.
Why not?
Why not?
What did you want to do?
I want to see how the universe works.
You didn't say you wanted to see how the universe works for you. You wanted to show how the universe works for you.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
So then what if your dreams aren't showing you a damn thing?
Other than that will reflect and respond to my declaration.
No, it doesn't give a damn about your declaration. It doesn't care about your intentions, your declarations, or, gee, well, I thought I was doing this. It don't give a shit.
So what are the dreams?
What if the dreams aren't telling you, you're telling the dreams? You're showing the dreams. In your dreams, you're showing. Let's assume that that's the case. We've made this assumption along the way. Then are your dreams not that you are showing your dreams? And in that, the dreams are showing you?
Ah, okay. Yes.
So, it isn't a matter, then, of what are the dreams saying to you. What are you saying to your dreams?
Okay.
If I say to you, your dreams reveal how you're living your life regardless of how you think you're living your life, does that say that the dreams are showing you? Or doesn't it equally say you're showing your dream? Does it matter whether the revelation comes from you or from somebody else? Whatever said that if I say your dreams reveal this, have I ever said that it's coming from the dream gods?
Yes, my separate and friendly dream god waiting for me to go to sleep.
That's right. You got to do something. The universe can't show you that. There is no universal dream god that reads your mind or watches over you. You do it, hey, then it impacts the universe and the universe reacts accordingly. So maybe your dreams are just you mouthing off about what's going on. Was that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
So then we
get lots of really interesting stuff.
Well, by gosh, don't the dreams always include usually something you've experienced before? You know how to talk about that. This is what I'm doing. You talk about that all the time.
Yeah, Raj, I just want to ask a question here. So when you say you mouthing off, we mean personal you?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I knew what you were talking about. Personal you. Okay.
Is that okay, Matt?
Roger, I'm going to ask this, and I may be way off, but then dreams are really memory with S and memory Y. I don't know if the word is intermingling, communing. Isn't that the place where they really meet, if you will?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, when you're dreaming, you're dreaming the dream. You're showing something to yourself. You have, well, at least in my dreams, people that have been in my life. So there's memories. There also may be events that may be turned around, changed around places. But there's memories thrown in there as well as memory in terms of I'm in two places at once, a switching, being everywhere, not being time or space limited. That's what I'm talking about. Or am I way off?
Well, you ended up with just a string of words, so I'm afraid to answer the question.
In your dreams...
Well, let me start all over again.
Okay.
Is it possible that if you believe that you are a personal being... and God exists, and angels exist, and guides exist, that your dreams are then talking to you? Is it possible that if you say you are an eternal being, but you still believe that God and all these other guys are talking to you, then your dreams are talking to you, showing you about the same dream? The same dream could be understood from the perspective of your being talked about as an eternal being. If you believe that you are an abiding universal being, then aren't you speaking for the universal being? And in that, then, from that perspective, the same dream would be you speaking to your universal self to show the universal self what it could be.
Okay.
Same dream, but the only difference is your perspective. How do you see yourself? How you see yourself then is the nature of the dream. And it's either talking to you as a personal, this is what you're doing, crap shit. This is talking to you as an eternal, this is what you could be doing, crap shit. Or it's you talking to yourself and saying, damn, this is what I'm doing.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Did that sort things out?
That does sort things out.
So, the same dream, whichever perspective you're coming from as the declared self, you see, we started out, the only reason, well, we'll get to that later. This outline was because this number one of essentials is to say, we've been doing all of these 20 things for the last 20 years. Have we gotten anywhere? And so I'm now trying to put together a picture or an image of why we went talking about your personal self, eternal self, resplendent, and universal being in all of this regard. I went there step by step, which we'll explain as we go through all of these 20 things over the next few weeks, whatever, to get you to practice so that you could get to the point when you say, damn, you know, I am the abiding universal being that I thought I was. And take yourself out of conflict.
Right.
Did you think that all these last 20 years that I wasn't leading up to something? I just got tired of nobody wanted to get off of anything except their personal self.
Right.
And your personal dreams, and you send me the dream. Well, interpret it from this perspective. All that we're doing in that regard is say, okay, understand your dreams. There's a whole lot of stuff there. Learn the process for understanding it. Then we can carry it to understanding yourself as an eternal self or eternal being. And all that was a get you to get out of your personal self, stand over here, and look at yourself.
Right.
Well, okay, now then I'm saying from this whole thing tonight, can you look at yourself as a universal being? Well, if you haven't dealt with it in terms of a universal self, I mean an eternal self, you have no skills at seeing yourself as an abiding, all-inclusive, universal being. That make sense?
Yeah, that makes more sense.
That's what this was all about. Does that make sense to you, Patrick?
Yes.
Well, what I said from the get-go, I'm just giving you the tools for you to use them, but you wouldn't use them. So now we're going back and say, do you want to use it? Well, I don't think we should go past 3. Does anybody want to talk the next 15 minutes about 1, 2, or 3? My question is, number 1, are you willing to say, that's who I am?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yep.
Or are you going to be cause and affecting to say, show me that that's true, then if I like it, I might consider it.
Nope. I think just saying it's declaring it first.
But then what do you got to do?
Never do anything to deny it again.
What do you got to do?
I don't know. Got to do after I declare it? Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that gets me back into a causal. This is what I said. I don't want to say anything else.
That's your mistake.
For real. Okay. How so?
After you declared it, you got to live it. If you don't live it, there's nothing for the universe to respond to, and therefore you don't see and know and understand yourself as a universal being. And so, immediately after you...
Dodge. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
So, as soon as you said it, now you have to do it, because you're saying, I am a universal being. Now, when you live as a universal being. No matter what you're doing, you are particularizing yourself as a universal being. End of discussion. And then you can understand that the universe responds to that to say, hi, universal being. You wanted confirmation before you did it. I say do it and you get confirmation. Yeah, have we gone to say too much for everybody today? I mean, have everybody gone brain dead?
Something like that. There's just so much to take in.
Well, okay. Good night for now.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.